Well, what do you think 2025 will be remembered for? Here's my list, in no particular order. K-pop Demon Hunters, Swift and Kelsey. The numbers 6, 7 put together like that. Lionesses, McElroy and Norris, Ozzy and Kirk, Bananas in Hedges, and Beast and Brownies, Zelensky being told off in the Oval Office, ID cards, assisted dying, everything else. Now, I focus more on pop culture, but what are the things that you will remember 2025 for? And at the end of that list, do you think the world feels more secure and happy at the end of this year than it did at the start? For many of us, I think the honest answer is probably no. Which is why Christmas sort of plays the role it does within our culture. For many of us, it has this role as sort of a beautiful interruption. A few days of food, family, Christmas presents, Bing Crosby, Macaulay Culkin, a warm retreat into nostalgia, away from the colder reality. But Christianity has always claimed that Christmas is so much more than just that. So much more from an escape, not so much an escape, but a confrontation with reality, something deeper, a reminder that God has stepped into the world and we know what true light really is. One of our readings earlier this evening was from Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was born, raising a huge question. Isaiah speaking words of hope, promise from God. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. And these wonderful titles, wonderful counselor, an advocate, someone who will speak for us, who understands us. Mighty God, God himself stepped into history, not to dominate, but to draw near. Everlasting Father, not a cruel tyrant or a ruler, but the one who protects and rescues. Prince of Peace, the one who will bring an end to hatred and violence and war and unrest. We hear those promises, and maybe we want to ask, well, what has happened with them then? Where is this Prince of Peace that the Bible speaks of? People sometimes say to me, in my role as a church minister, religion causes more war than it brings peace. Where is peace in Gaza? Or where is peace in our own hearts? For some of us, Christmas sort of sharpens the sense of loneliness or reopens grief for us. Where is this promised peace? And I suspect for many of us, even if we're not sure, if you're here thinking, well, I'm not sure I believe anything about the Christmas story, we can understand the appeal, the idea that God walks into the earth, that he identifies with ordinary people, with the poor, with the desperate, that he would know our frailty and offer us a promise and relief from grief. It's profoundly comforting. But if there's truth to it, where is it? Where is this Prince of Peace? Someone once put it to me like this: we all have this sense that we were made for happiness, made for peace, made for joy, and yet it just feels like something's gone wrong. We are all restless, ill at ease, find it so hard to live with ourselves and one another. I want to give you three reasons why Christians believe that Jesus is the answer to that peace that we see at Christmas. The first one is maybe a little depressing. Jesus has a radical diagnosis of the problem. Now, most of us, in most situations, whether it's a work conflict or a family situation, most of us believe we're part of the solution, not the problem. Every political movement with a Messiah context tells you, you can be part of the solution, and we want to believe it. Because it lets us relocate the problem somewhere else, somewhere out there. It's them, the bankers, the politicians, the migrants, or some other group, some other tribe. It's not us. What we're far less comfortable admitting is that the root of the problem run through our human hearts, including our own. The selfishness, the pride, the anger, the cruelty that we despise in others, we see plenty of it in our own hearts first. John's Gospel, which was the final reading we read tonight, doesn't soften that message. It says the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, but the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It takes humility to say, I am not the light. I need the light. Without Jesus, I don't really know what God is like or what I'm really like. There's a need to recognize we live in darkness, not just in ignorance of God, but with our backs turned to God. We are not naturally the people of light. But secondly, I think Jesus brings a deeper kind of peace. Isaiah's wonderful titles find their fulfillment in Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Often we're tempted to say, well, no, because he doesn't meet my immediate felt needs. But Christians would say, well, the needs he meets are even deeper than those felt needs, our spiritual need. Jesus wasn't born into a palace. He didn't arrive with power and spectacle. He came to do what we could not do for ourselves. He came to reconcile us to God. And there the question then hangs, so where is the promised peace? Well, what if our idea of peace is too small? What if we've Christmassified it, reduced it to vibes and seasonal goodwill? What if the peace we most need is not less than peace on earth, but much, much more? I don't know if you've ever heard the poem, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Wrote the poem in response to both the loss of his wife and then his son going off to fight in the American Civil War. And the poem concludes, and in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. What Longfellow reflects in his poem is that the Bible describes our deepest conflict that is not just with one another, but first with God. And Jesus ministers to us by making peace there first, by turning those enemies between humanity and God together, by bringing those who are far away back home, by offering forgiveness for sins and reconciliation with God. From that deeper peace, all kinds of other peace can begin to grow. And then thirdly, I think we see that Jesus is unlike any other kind of leader. We're often drawn to leaders who say to us, I'm just like you. But that's also their weakness. John's Gospel in that final reading starts with a staggering claim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is not simply one of us, simply a slightly better human being. He is God himself. And that makes the next line all the more astonishing at the end of that passage. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Christmas is not the story of a human being clawing his way to God-likeness. It's the opposite. It is God humbling himself to take on flesh and blood. And that matters. If Jesus were merely a moral example, Christianity would just be another version of be better, try harder, whatever the self-help benefits are today that we're being sold. But the message of Christmas is that we can't fix ourselves, but God has entered in to come and rescue us. And one final thing with all of this. Messianic leaders come to gather followers. Jesus comes to bring his children home. John writes, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus didn't come for power, reputation, or status. The stable makes that clear. He came so that broken people could call God Father. Now, that doesn't mean that life suddenly becomes easy. We're still waiting. Life is still painful. Heaven has not yet arrived. But, God is knowable. Hope is real. And hope not just for this life, but for a life yet to come. If you want to explore that more, you would always be welcome to join us. We have services here most mornings on Sundays. It's 9:15, 11:15, and 6:30 p.m. in the evenings. If it's easier on your way out this evening, we have some little goodie bags, and inside are some sweet treats, but also a little book to help you think through the story of Christmas a little bit more. But why don't we all stand and sing our final carol? Hark the herald angels sing. Sing a wonderful, wonderful carol.